Tell Us Where It Hurts, a conversation around health, well-being, and the many ways people across Central Indiana are offering a helping hand. I'm your host, Chris Kirshner, and today's conversation is about helping older adults fight food insecurity.
A lot of times you go into stores and the food's very, very high. I can't afford it. I just can't afford it, so I have mouths to feed.
Oh yeah, I come over here first Wednesday of every month to pick up food vouchers. Every little bit helps.
Indiana has the ability to grow monumental amounts of food.
So just getting the produce out into those areas, a lot of people don't have cars, so being able to get to the grocery stores is an issue.
Joining us for this conversation, Kathy Hahn-Kiner. Kathy is the Chief Programs and Community Collaborations Officer with Gleaners Food Bank of Indiana. She's responsible for the strategic direction and planning for programs such as the Child Hunger Initiative, Mobile Pantry Programs, Senior Hunger Initiative, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP. And Sloan Shockley Lewis. Sloan currently serves as a local service manager with Gleaners Food Bank of Indiana for Putnam, Morgan, Johnson, and Shelby counties. That's where she oversees all programs and services offered in those counties, such as food pantries, mobile distributions, and youth programs. Now, she also acts as a main resource, point of contact, and convener for senior programs that operate within Gleaners 21 County service area. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
I'm guessing you guys have your work cut out for you lately, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. For the purposes of this conversation, let's talk about what we mean, first of all, by food insecurity.
So food insecurity can mean different things. And so when we talk about that, we mean that people don't have access at all times for a healthy lifestyle, so enough nutritious food. There is a difference between food insecurity and hunger. So hunger is the physical discomfort. Food insecurity refers to a lack of available financial resources for the nutritious food that we'd like a household to have. Gleaners Food Bank is a part of the Feeding America Network. Feeding America is a national network of 200 food banks throughout the country. We all are independent, but we work together, and it was especially helpful during COVID. So without Feeding America and the power behind it for advocacy, collaboration, best practices, grant making, and so forth, we would not be as strong without them.
Sloan, you cover a wide range of the state of Indiana. So when we're talking about Indiana, let's focus on that for right now. Where are we in terms of, as Kathy defined, food insecurity?
It certainly can change between, you know, our urban and rural areas, and Gleaner serving 21 counties. We go all the way east to Wayne County and all the way down, you know, to Franklin County in the southeast and the Donuts. So, you know, it's a diverse area in itself. And when we look at food insecurity, it does change in the rural with seniors are a little bit more isolated sometimes out in the rural communities. So looking at what jobs were available, what their income levels were before they retired, what their health issues are, lack of transportation, all of that can figure in financially. And, you know, they're having to make that choice between food and medicine, food and rent. And that happens in the urban areas as well. And it's just those really difficult choices and how impactful each one is, and depending on where they live, that can make a difference.
I know our focus on the conversation is seniors, but let's talk first food insecurity in general. Who are the most at risk? Is it seniors that are most at risk that we're most concerned about, or who are we talking about when we talk about being food insecure in the state of Indiana or Central Indiana?
Well, it's a wide range of individuals, unfortunately. Yeah. Seniors are one of them. It would be the low-income families, multi-generations living in the same household. And so people may be employed or the underemployed or those obviously without work. So it's a wide variety and it changes all the time. I think we see new faces every day. So we can't just assume that because somebody doesn't have a job that we'll continue to see them. Now, we might, but we're continuing to see new faces. And I think that's probably important for our audience to know, that we want to be available when the need is there.
Mm-hmm. And I think when we talk about our most vulnerable populations, it would be our seniors and children under 18. You know, it's not so easy for them to just go out and get a job. We did used to think of seniors being 65 and over, and a lot of programs were geared to that age. They dropped down to maybe including seniors being 60 and over. And I know that when we focused on our senior program, we started at age 55. And a lot of people were like, wow, you know, that seems so young. And we realized that it's, you know, an uncommon age, but we wanted to embrace just that demographic that was maybe starting to work towards retirement earlier than maybe they had planned. We just had a recent study that came out, and they're actually looking at adults 50 to 59 as a separate category for food insecurity as aging adults. So I think people are really starting to look at how our economics have impacted job availability, you know, food security, just how everything kind of comes together, and especially since COVID, because so many of them are finding themselves in a place where they're unemployed, they've never been in this position before, and in finding a job that can sustain their family is not always right at hand, or they're working multiple jobs with no insurance. So there's all these different factors that can impact food insecurity other than just not having a job. It could be medical issues. It could be, as Kathy mentioned, multi-generational families living together. And how does that household support that?
The population is the baby boomers mm-hmm. are at that retirement age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a silver tsunami, I think it's been referred to before.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think the other part is a lot of the federal nutrition programs, you have to be 60 and above to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So this new category, 50 to 59 of older adults, is going to be important as we serve people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we want to help seniors, if we say seniors are 60 and above, with those federal nutrition programs like SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. There's also CSFP, the Commodity Supplemental Food Program. We can help navigate some of those programs for seniors in addition to other programs and services. What we're doing is supplemental to what everything else is. And by and far, the first safety net are the federal nutrition programs. And so if we can help seniors or others as well use those programs, the better for everybody.
Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about what it keeps people, and let's focus on the seniors, what might keep them from getting access to healthy foods, which is what we're talking about with food insecurity. You mentioned transportation. What are, let's run through some of those again. What are some of the barriers to that access?
Yeah, I think transportation is huge. And obviously financial means, you know, just along with even health issues that can prevent them from, you know, physically going out and shopping on their own or acquiring that food. So when we talk about federal programs, the Emergency Food Assistance Program, TFAP, is critical to each of our counties, as those pantries that participate in that program allow proxy shopping. So they can have somebody come and actually pick up their food for them and deliver it. So I think that the transportation issue really has to be looked at in greater detail, and how are seniors actually accessing not only food but medical services. And what's the cost of that to them? You know, some counties have a great program where it's no cost or, you know, a donation. And I know they're working hard to try to make a difference as well. But I think in the day-to-day operation, transportation is certainly an issue.
And I would also say when somebody is food insecure, they are going to have some other challenges. That's not more than likely going to be the only thing. And seniors also have mobility issues.
Mm-hmm.
They may have the grandchildren, great-grandchildren in their home, and they're going to make sure that those kids are fed mm-hmm. before they are. So that's another consideration. And Sloan, I know you had mentioned finance. Well, if you've got three generations in your home, the senior might be using some of his or her resources to provide for the family members in the home. So there's a whole array of challenges, but I would agree mm-hmm. the transportation, having multiple generations in the home is definitely a couple of the mm-hmm. the bigger challenges, plus health.
Mm-hmm.
Health and well-being is very important, and sometimes seniors are deciding they got to make a choice. Do I spend money on my medicine that I need or food for the grandkids? And those mm-hmm. are very difficult decisions, and sometimes they have to make the decision, you know, that we wouldn't want them to make.
Mm-hmm.
We do always try to bring this back to healthy outcomes, or how mm-hmm. can we create healthier outcomes. And along with that, I also know if they're not getting that access to healthy food, that's going to cause its own health mm-hmm. situation and maybe create a situation where they have to go to the hospital or have to seek out health care because they're not getting that nutritious food. Is that on the right track?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's exciting to see how we can partner with hospitals and the medical community in each of our counties here in Marion County, as well, especially to look at different programs and how we design the menus of food that we have available for our member agencies, the food pantries and such, to be able to provide that more nutritious food. So I know we have some unique healthy programs.
We do. So one is called actually Food is Medicine. Mm-hmm. And that's a new program that came out of the pandemic so that we can tailor some of the food. Sloan had mentioned menus. So within this program, we have three menus. One is a regular standard, one's gluten-free, and one is vegetarian. So the dietitian gets involved and helps set up success for a senior or another person on this program. So that's one unique way where if we can all work together. I mentioned at the beginning, too, that food banks and then food pantries that are our partners are getting much more produce from us, so fruits and vegetables. So we know, one, they're expensive, but two, we know they're very nutritious. So we can supply on a regular basis to our partners fresh fruits and vegetables, the meats and proteins, and other things, food items that seniors and others need. If they can have it on a regular basis, mm-hmm. then that is going to help some of their conditions. Maybe they have some chronic conditions, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, mm-hmm. Heart conditions, and so forth. So if they can have nutritious food on an ongoing basis for the whole household, it's really important that we feed the whole household. We're going to have better outcomes.
I know recently, a trip to the grocery store, I noticed a lot more shelves that are bare.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's some delivery issues or just other various issues as a result of the pandemic. What are you seeing and how is the pandemic or issues like that impacting the work that you're doing?
The pandemic really highlighted the vulnerabilities.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I think people knew, but then all of a sudden this happens to everybody at the same time and you're like, wow, I didn't know mm-hmm. there was such a need. Mm-hmm. And there was a great need before the pandemic. And then the pandemic hits, and we're still kind of in this limbo of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
We have three different types of food, so donated from our partners like Walmart, Myers, and so forth, government commodities, we've mentioned a few of them, and then purchase, where food banks actually purchase food. So the pandemic threw everything in a tizzy, and food prices have gone up. But I will say the government came through on various programs, and really for much of 2020, we as well as others distributed a lot of government program. The produce, the vegetables, the meats, dairy, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that brought to light some new things that we're embarking upon with state, local, and federal agencies. But we as a food bank are paying more food. So maybe 10, 15 years ago, we didn't buy much food. 5 years ago, we really started to ramp it up. Again, we want that mix of fresh, healthy as much as we can. But also because of the pandemic then, you were right. Everything was flying off the shelves and our prices went up. Mm-hmm. But we've got great partnerships and collaborations that we were able to secure the needed food.
Yeah. In each community, we're able to work with the local grocers and get that product directly from them to a food pantry or soup kitchen in that county community. And so it's not going to waste.
And I would say, too, 2 or 3 years ago, we started a produce cooperative within the Feeding America mm-hmm. network. There were about 6 or 7 throughout the country. Well, we are working directly with growers and farmers, mm-hmm. so they don't plow that under. That is really good food. It's kind of like your ugly produce or imperfect produce.
Yeah.
So we get that as a donation, and we're helping out the farmers and growers because that is really good food. That is a relatively new source. But the produce cooperative was so successful as we work with other food banks that now we are expanding to meats and then dairy and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we're just taking that concept and working with our fellow food bankers to really get the food where it needs to be. We're a land of plenty, and we've got the food. It's more logistics. So it's exciting. So the produce cooperative was called that. We changed it to Fresh Connect Central because we are doing the produce, the dairy, and the protein. So quite exciting.
So you all are doing some amazing work. What can other people do to support the work that you're doing? I'm thinking in terms of seniors, there might be, if there are other family members, if they're living in multi-generational homes, or people who are their caregivers, whether they be, official health caregivers, providers such as doctors and nurses, or if they're just caregivers in the home. What should they be looking for and what can they be doing?
I would say specifically in those circumstances, if they have someone who is able to go out and shop for them, to look for food pantries that participate in the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which is TFAP, because they can go pick up product for them and their senior in the home, and that there's a list available through the state website on that, and they can certainly call Gleaners and we can share who are in our communities that are TFAP. And I think just the willingness and coordination of knowing when somebody, the senior, needs something, whether they're living in the home or not, and just checking on them. Just really keeping an eye out and, stepping up and making a difference,
And I would piggyback with saying, kind of check out their diet. Mm-hmm. Are they getting the nutrition they need? Are they eating? Mm-hmm. Do check in on them so they're not isolated and depressed. And then look for other resources. You'd mentioned TFAB. But there may be some other local resources, a Meals on Wheels, mm-hmm. Sokoa, that maybe can just make that connection. And when we were talking about grandchildren, too, you can check with the schools. They may have some programs, too, mm-hmm. That are geared toward seniors, especially if you've got a multi-generation. So just local resources within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we can certainly make some connections as well if people are interested.
And would you say the same for people who may not have a direct connection to a senior but are wanting to help in some way to advocate? What would you say to those folks, just people who are listening?
Volunteer.
Okay.
There are so many opportunities for folks to volunteer. At Gleaners Food Bank, it could be from helping to pack a produce box to actually doing home delivery, riding along with somebody in our home delivery van and placing the box of fresh produce and meats on somebody's doorstep, So there's a variety of things like that. Local food pantries, soup kitchens need your help. So there's a plethora of ways you can volunteer.
Well, and I would say check on your neighbor.
Yeah.
I mean, check on the people, especially if you haven't seen them out. That is so important. And then donate. You can donate to gleaners.org or donate to your local area, but that's very important mm-hmm. as we continue to really get the food that we want mm-hmm. for our seniors.
Yeah. So through donations of food and financial gifts, you can make a world of difference if you're not able to physically go out and volunteer. So everything is greatly appreciated. And really, if you're donating food and stuff, and, you know, you can just call and find out what foods would be best to donate.
You both have been at Gleaners for a while.
Yes.
Sloan, you said over 20 years.
Yes.
And Kathy, about 12 years,
yep,
you
yep,
said.
Yep.
It must be gratifying work. I'm certain it's challenging, but it must be gratifying for the both of you.
I would say so. Yeah. So I sum it up as heartbreaking, but yet very heartwarming. That I personally have not been in the position, but we want to make sure that this is a basic need. And to help people with nutritious food, that should be just a given. And so that's how I sum it up for me, because I've seen firsthand. And I never want to take for granted myself personally. And I do appreciate someone taps me on the shoulder and says, thank you. And I'm like, what? Well, thank you for helping. And so that really is very mm-hmm. gratifying.
And I think something, you know, for having been there, I've seen a lot of changes. And I've worked in different programs in different areas of the food bank. So I've been blessed to have kind of a little bit of a roundabout knowledge. And how the industry, I call it the industry, but how really the mission has changed food banking in general, and what we're gearing up for to make sure we're getting the most nutritious food out possible. I mean, it's amazing. It's it changes so many lives, and we talk about health and wellness and nutrition. It all ties together, and having that healthy diet does help folks stay out of the hospital and out of the medical clinics. You know, that's a given fact. And, you know, that we're in a position that we've never been in before to make just tremendous strides in getting these types of food out to these communities is very humbling. They say the average American is two paychecks away from needing some type of assistance. And, you know, when folks come in, you know, with tears in their eyes because they're, you know, struggling with being there. And when you walk in with your peers, you know, and folks you may know may be there, that's a hard step to take. And it's a brave one to take, because you need to take care of yourself to be able to take care of others. And so for them to come in and access the food pantry is, you know, very important. And we just try to make them feel welcome.
I mean, we want the neighbor experience to be top of the line.
Mm-hmm.
These are our neighbors, and we want to be treated, you know, if we were to go there, we would want to be treated nicely. So we mm-hmm. really look at the neighbor experience as well as the volunteer experience, mm-hmm. too. We are not stagnant. What is consistent is change. Mm-hmm. So we really have to be able to change as our landscape and as our neighbors change.
Well, Sloan Shockley-Lewis, Kathy Honkiner, thank you so, so much for the conversation, but also thank you for all you're doing for our communities.
Well, thank you
very much.
I'd like to thank our guests for being part of today's discussion, and thank you for being part of our journey as we all become better listeners. I'm Chris Kirshner, and this has been Tell Us Where It Hurts. Until next time.